Welcome to True Wealth, your tangible assets advisor. This is Kevin, your host. True Wealth is brought to you by Coins Plus in Spokane. Coins Plus is your full-service rare coin and precious metals broker-dealer depository service. Sorry for the voice there. I got caught right as the show started. Hang on a sec. Sometimes you never know what's going on there. But it's Murphy's Law, which is actually a kind of a true thing, it seems. If anything will go wrong, it will. Or if anything can, it will, or however that goes. I don't know. That's a pretty pessimistic approach, though, isn't it? So True Wealth is brought to you by Coins Plus in Spokane, Washington. Coins Plus is your full-service rare coin and precious metals broker, dealer, depository service. We've been buying and selling rare coins and precious metals for decades. We are Christian owned and operated. We like to help people. We believe in what we do. We like to help people do well with their money. We build portfolios. We help people to, you know, grow their portfolios and deal in hard assets. And, I guess just to get kind of right into it. Well, you know, I guess Coins Plus can be reached at 444-0044 or toll free 877 tap coin or through the website at coinsplus.com. We also have the highest rated privately held depository service in the Western United States. And we are a high volume, low margin dealer, which means we want to do a lot of volume at low margins, and honesty, integrity, and professionalism is our motto. Folks, one thing I always forget to touch on, frustratingly enough, is the fact that the deal with reviews. We've talked about reviews in the past. Coins Plus will, if you go on Google and give us a positive review, preferably if you've done business or you discuss doing business with us. I think that's what they want to see on there. We'll give you a free Morgan Silver Dollar. If you go on three locations, we'll give you two ounces of silver or two silver dollars. But anyway, so, you know, all you got to do is go on Google. I mean, there's people that are like, how do you do that? Well, if you have a Gmail account, you're automatically signed up for Google. I mean, you're already a member. Okay, so Gmail account makes it happen. And then other than that, I'm sure there's other ways to log in and deal with it. You know, everything is like log in with Facebook. And, you know, I know there's actually people, I've talked to people out there that are still not on the internet. God bless you. I mean, I just cannot. Oh, I have my opinions about the internet. I have my opinions about Google. I mean, there is no organic searching anymore. Everything is money. Everything. I mean, I am so sick and tired of everything being a pop-up and everything being an ad and cookies that track you all over the web. And I mean, it is, you know, it's really weird when you go back, for those of you who watch a movie now and then. There was the movie Minority Report with Tom Cruise that I think that's like maybe a 13-year-old movie or something like that. And it was interesting because the advertising would track him as he moved through, through the earth, you know, as he traveled, I guess, through different buildings and things like that. They would advertise directly to him based on, I guess, his retina. And it is interesting that it talks about in the Bible that in the end times, there's the mark of the beast is on the right hand or the forehead. Well, you know, or the whatever, you know, it sounds like the forehead, but basically you've got, you could either take a chip or it could be doing a retinal scan or a fingerprint. It's hard to know, you know, what exactly that was talking about, Is it talking about your fingerprint and your retinal scan? Or what, you know, we also know they talk about having a chip implanted too. But it's interesting that what happens on Google is what was kind of prophesied in the movie Minority Report. And I think a lot of times Hollywood is ahead of the curve on some of these really cool ideas. I'm still trying to get rid of whatever jumped into my throat there. That was weird. That was weird timing. Kind of frustrating once in a while, isn't it? I'm going to see if I can look this up. But it is, I guess, you know, you do get to the point where you get, you know, the whole concept of the mark of the beast, and that no man might buy or sell unless he has the mark of the beast. You know, in Revelation 13:17, no man might buy or sell save he that had, trying to ask me. I'm definitely not a King Jameser. And he provides that no one will be able to buy or to sell except the one who has the mark, either the name of the beast or the number of his name. Which is just like, what in the world? The name of the beast or the number of his name? We don't even know, as you get further down the road, what that even means. I mean, it's interesting that as things become more programmed and more computerized, that numbers, everything is based on, you know, numerology or a numerical system, and we have binary codes. And so it is interesting that it says that no one will be able to buy or sell. The big deception there is the fact that when you go into the Hebrew, or I'm sorry, into the Greek, to buy is agazoro or agaro, I'm sorry, agorazo, agorazo. I'm really, really good at Greek. Can you tell? Here it is, agorazo, which makes sense because agoraphobia would be a fear of leaving the home. But basically, it's so the one is means to be in the marketplace, to attend it, to do business in the marketplace, okay? To lounge there, even, it says. And then the word for sell is poleo, which means to barter, to sell in the market. It goes back to the marketplace. So basically what it's saying is, if you don't accept the mark of the beast, you aren't part of the club. You don't get to be part of the club. And obviously it might be a little more harsh than that, but you follow me. You're not part of the club. Then it says, then in Revelations 14:9, we go, then another angel, a third one, followed them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast and his image and receives a mark on his forehead or on his hand, and then it goes on, and I get to shut the ringer off now. There we go. So let's see where that goes. It says he will drink. Then another angel, this is Revelations 14:9, a third one followed them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast in his image and receives a mark on his forehead or on his hand, he also will drink the wine of the wrath of God, which is mixed in full strength in the cup of his anger, and he will be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb, and the smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever. They have no rest day and night, those who worship the beast in his image and whoever receives the mark of his name. Folks, that's heavy stuff. Think about it. Think about God's angels. Think about what crosses your mind when you think of God's angels that guard him or that surround him, okay? People always have this real soft, fluffy angel thing. Angels are very powerful. Every time an angel shows up in the Bible, what do people do? they hit the deck. They hit the deck in fear and torment, or not torment, in fear and terror. And what do the angels always do? Say, no, 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 get up. They say, get up. Don't worship me, number one. Number two, they say, don't be afraid. I have good news or whatever, or, you know, God sent me. But every time people see an angel, they absolutely hit the deck. Now, I don't know what they look like, but they're a lot bigger and more intimidating than I think than we draw them or imagine them to be. We've also got historical narratives of these angels coming down and onto the earth to protect man and then creating the Nephilim by breeding with women. And, you know, it says in there, it says that they took basically any of the women they chose and made wives of. So there's something about these guys, right? Well, think about this. So it talks about anyone who takes the mark of the beast. It says if anyone worships the beast. Now, I don't know when this comes or when we'll know. You know, first, and here's what's interesting, folks. I've done my, you know, over and over that I think Babylon, the great mystery Babylon, was destroyed with the trade towers. I think that was mystery Babylon. Now you might think, well, everything's still going on. Yeah, but the whole world's different now. Our economy's changed. Everything's a world centralized. You know, it's all coming together. So basically in Revelations 14:8, it says, Fallen is Babylon the Great. Well, it says, and another angel, a second one, followed, saying, fallen is Babylon the Great, she who has made all the nations drink of the wine of the passion of her immorality. Then a third angel comes in 14:9, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast and his image, he receives a mark. He will drink the wine of the wrath of God, which is mixed in full strength, in the cup of his anger, and he'll be tormented with fire and brimstone in the what? In the presence of the holy angels, in the presence of the Lamb. So basically, they're actually going to enjoy to see this, I guess. And we're getting to such a way on earth now that we're getting where all violence is bad and all, you know, it's troubling. We'll just put it that way, the way we think. And before that, there was, you know, they've had before that, the first angel that said, I saw another angel flying in mid heaven, having an eternal gospel to preach to those who live on the earth and to every nation and tribe and tongue and people. And he said with a loud voice, fear God and give him glory because the hour of his judgment has come. Worship him who made the heavens and the earth and the sea and the springs of the waters. Then the second angel comes. So basically he's saying the word of God is spread across the earth, number one. Number two, mystery Babylon falls, okay? Then number three, God's wrath ultimately comes, okay? So basically, interestingly enough, I think we've passed the mystery Babylon phase. I'm pretty confident of that, and that we are into the global restructuring phase, which, you know, we don't know God's timelines, we don't know God's timing, we just don't know. But we do know that God's word is true and right, and that we're definitely in a critical phase in the stage of this globe, in the history of the Bible and the history of the world. And I was listening today to while doing some research or reading or whatever, George Salente, who is, I think, Trends Forecaster, and you know, he's been around forever, and those who know anything about the financial world know him. He's a pretty respected dude. In fact, I think I might be able to, you know, he's got a lot of historical predictions. I mean, he predicted 9/11. He predicted the panic of 08, Great Recession, you know, to begin in 07. He's just got a lot of really, he predicted the death of malls, what he called the brick and mortar bounce. And what that means for those of you who aren't in business is everything's going to the internet. Okay. So what does that mean? Cashless society and the rise of, and then this rise of cryptocurrency, which he said today he wouldn't go near it right now. And a while ago he would. He predicted Trump becoming president. You know, as long before any most other people did. But basically, today when I was, you know, looking at his, doing some research, he says a market crash on the scale of 2008 is looming. He says, buy safe havens. Now, then he goes on and he basically says the safest haven, the safest place to put your money is precious metals-based assets. He said there's no safer place. And then we've got, you know, equity markets. I mean, basically, here's where we're at. Okay, let's be honest. And you may or may not know this already. This may shock you. I mean, this may be new to you. It may not. I don't know. But everyone knows, okay, when I say equity market, I mean stock, anything to do with paper, okay? It's stocks, bonds, mutual funds, things like that. One other thing I've kind of, when I used to say gold, I really refer to the entire sector, but we'll just use gold as the basis of our discussion. When I say gold, it doesn't mean that other things are bad. It doesn't mean that, you know, silver doesn't work. It doesn't mean that coins are bad. And by the way, I already mentioned the Google reviews. I just wanted to make sure I touched on that. Folks, it's simple. I mean, all you have to do is go on Google. And I mean, we'll give you a nice Morgan silver dollar. It's not junk. I mean, it's nice, good stuff. Just take the time, go on and just say you've done business with us and the atmosphere was nice or the people treated you well or, you know, you got really good value for your money or whatever and just give us a 5-star review. Oh, and then all you got to do is call or email or whatever. It's easier to just call. We'll go on and verify it. And if you come in and get your coins, fine. If not, we'll mail them to you, mail it or them. No problem at all. But, you know, I mean, it's worth it because, I mean, over the years, we've done over 300,000 individual transactions. And we've got, you know, you don't get many reviews. And then you get a few that people aren't happy. Or, you know, we had one employee for a while that wasn't always the nicest to people. And, you know, got a few of those. And then you get competitors that, you know, put stuff out that it doesn't even make sense. I mean, it's literally like illiterate, but you can't get rid of it because Google, you can't call anybody. There's nowhere to call. There's nothing to do. You're just stuck. And so the best we can do is just counterbalance it with the positives. And so I do appreciate you doing that. If a Morgan silver dollar doesn't motivate you, call us. I mean, there's people that turn around and say, okay, now I want to sell it. Okay, fine. We'll give you $25 or whatever. Or 30, you know, whatever it is. I mean, whatever it is that makes you happy, call us. We'll figure something out for you. That way we'll take care of you. And, but in return, I mean, it's important to us because people need to know. I mean, it's just, fortunately or unfortunately, it's the world we live in. It's the system we operate by. And it's, folks, I'm old enough that I'm not a big fan of it. I'm definitely not good at the video stuff and all that. I mean, I'm a good coin guy. I know precious metals. I know money very well. But And, you know, it's interesting. Eternal principles never change. Isn't that interesting? God's truths never change. Real truths never change. So it doesn't really matter what happens around you. It's just always the same. So basically what I was getting at here is everyone knows, and I was kind of doing some quoting of George Salente and some other stuff I'd kind of researched and ran into today. Everyone knows that equity markets are overvalued and over-leveraged, okay? And he says, in a crash on the scale of the last recession could be on the horizon. And Gerald Salente, publisher of Trends Journal. You know, and I started to think about it, and I thought, he is so right on the money. Everyone knows. Everyone knows the stock market's overbought. Everyone knows it's artificially pumped up. I've talked about the fact that it's pumped up. I think one of the primary reasons is inflation. I think that Obama and now Trump have produced so much inflation with creation of currency, folks. I mean, we are living in a time of sheer insanity. And what's the most insane is it's like a drug addict. It's like watching one of your relatives just absolutely consume everything they own and not saying a word. But for some reason, because it's our government, I mean, we are absolutely consuming debt that is so far beyond anything we have, anything we will have, anything we can ever pay back. The only way we'll ever get out of this, it's twofold. It's bankruptcy or bankruptcy, which is basically, it's two forms of insolvency. One is bankruptcy and two is hyperinflation. And unbeknownst to us, hyperinflation is underway each and every single day. We are hyperinflating the currency by producing it in droves. I mean, literally droves. Trillions of dollars a year in new currency is being created. It's backed by nothing other than more debt. I mean, it is, you know, the Keynesian economic system is designed, as I've quoted so many times, you're sick of it. It's designed that through a, you know, basically through a series of through inflation, it's designed to confiscate the wealth of the citizen secretly and unobserved without their knowing it. He says, quote, the best way to destroy the capitalist system is to debauch the currency by a continuing process of inflation. Governments can confiscate secretly and unobserved an important part of the wealth of their citizens. I mean, think about the fact that this guy created this system for one reason. What is that reason? To destroy the capitalist system. What? Why would we be on this? If you think about our founding fathers, they started this country out to preserve and protect the capitalist system. They started this country out to preserve and protect the dollar. And then we've switched over. We've actually allowed communism and socialism and all these things to come in and take over, you know, our country. I mean, it's we've absolutely we've adopted social, I think they call it, what do they call it, cultural Marxism in America. We've absolutely allowed this to come and take us over. Now, I'll tell you something else that's kind of a bit of a concern. People are making a big whoop-de-doo out of Trump going over and meeting with Kim Jong-un. And I mean, folks, really? I mean, it's like you'd think you were watching the Summer Olympics. Kim Jong-un is a very, very, very bad man. The North Koreans are very bad people. what I think is going on, and we can get further into this here, and it's important to listen to this because I think it's correct. I think, and based on very sound research, and I do have one friend who is incredibly well connected in Israel, and he believes, I don't know if you've watched the hoopla lately with Netanyahu and Trump and all this stuff. And, you know, we're lobbing bombs at Syria and we don't kind of do, you know, any real damage. But who do we hate over there the most? Iran. So basically what's going on is we're preparing for a war with Iran. So we've got the George Salente, which he says equity markets are overvalued and overleveraged. Now, it's important to understand overvalued is pretty obvious. That means that they're trading for far more than they're worth. Overleveraged is even worse. That means that everybody has their margin accounts tapped out. I know what these are. You should too. There, believe it or not, there was a day that I was into this stuff and I took a bath. A nice big bath that cleaned up all my money off of me. You know, but basically we have margins. When you have an account of equities, they will let you margin or borrow money up to a certain percentage of your outstanding balance. Maybe it's 40, 50, 60%. It depends on what kind of equities and stocks you have to back it. If they're treasury bills and bonds, stuff that's rated really high that they consider super secure, they give you higher percentages. If you're in high-risk stocks and dot-com kind of quality stuff or real high-risk techs, then no, they won't. I mean, they'll still own you 50, 40, 50%. But it's really important to understand that not only is the market overbought, it's over-leveraged. That means that for every $1 trillion there is in the stock market pumping it up, there's another like third of that, at least a third, back, you know, that's taken out as a loan with the original money in with the original account as collateral. So basically, if you have $100,000 in a Fidelity account or something like that, you can borrow another, say, $33,000. So you can leverage $133,000 in stock. Well, the biggest problem is as that stock drops and then it goes below the allowable percentage of equity on your leverage, you have what are called calls and stops. And basically, it automatically sells your stock that you're holding on to via leverage, okay, or margin. So what happens is all of a sudden as the market starts to turn down, it starts to sell stocks off, okay? And then as more stocks sell off, then what happens? The market drops lower. Then what happens? More stocks, more people's stocks sell off. This is one of the contributing factors of the next landslide. Because folks, this world is odd. We have a stock market that supposedly exploded since Trump got in office. Are retail sales up? No. They tell us how great the economy is doing, but there's no sales figures. Folks, there's really nothing to say that the market's doing terrific, except for the Dow is way up. Okay. The indexes are up considerably over the last few years. So great. But that is caused, I believe, primarily by hyperinflation. But where we're heading next, and what's more concerning, is that what's going to lead, you know, one thing that's going to contribute to the crash is the fact that a barrel... Okay, so basically, one of the many triggers for a crash, which, by the way, these crashes come in 10-year cycles. We're kind of overdue. I mean, if you just go back and look, it's like every 10 years we get a market crash. And we're maybe not overdue because the last dip took a while and, you know, came back out. But anyway, it's coming. One of the triggers for this, and one thing that's going on is, like I said, Russia the United States, or Israel, I'm sorry, in the United States, are primarily together, banding together to take on Iran and Saudi Arabia as well. Saudi Arabia is a great ally of ours. Saudi Arabia is the huge, powerful Muslim presence over there, which is they really are kind of an amazing country. What's interesting is the Crown Prince came out, very brilliant man. And honest to goodness, I've met him. They're not the Crown Prince. He's the king now. But I actually met the guy in person. I stayed at a resort where it was just on a private island in Tahiti when my wife and I celebrated our 30th anniversary and 50th birthdays or whatever. You know, not a bad guy, but that doesn't tell you much when you consider he's Islamic and I don't know anything about him and, you know, whatever. But he said, you know, oil, first of all, has got to get to $100 a barrel for them to break even. He says that if it's not at $100 a barrel, they're losing money. Well, they're not, in my opinion, really losing money. I think what he's saying is they're not making the killing they used to. Okay, so then they asked him what would make oil go to $100 a barrel. Okay, so he said an escalating war in the Middle. He said, I can't pronounce his name. It's Salman Salad. It's Salam Assad something, whatever. He said a possible trigger for a crash, like for a stock market crash in the U.S., would be an escalating war in the Middle East. He said, if we have a war that involves Iran, kiss the stock markets goodbye, he said. And then George Salente added that it, in such a scenario, oil prices would go to $150 a barrel. So all of a sudden you've got King Salam Assad or whatever his name is, talking about oil at $100 a barrel. I don't want to make this too boring for you folks. Sorry. They want oil to go up. Okay. And people who aren't vested in oil are saying that, first of all, we are doing exactly what he's talking about by getting in there and, getting, you know, heading ourselves into war with Iran, which is craziness. This could be one of the reasons why Trump is being such an authoritarian figure with North Korea. It's very interesting that Donald Trump is schooling. I don't know if you've watched this, but he's actually treating Kim Jong-un as a child, but maturely. I mean, he's being polite, but he's kind of mentoring him, which is kind of creepy considering what Kim Jong-un does is so evil and so cruel. And he's basically, I don't know for sure what they're up to, folks. I mean, I think that Kim Jong-un, I think they're out of money. I think that they can't afford to keep doing this nuclear development. I think he's literally starving his people to death. I think he's a cruel, evil dictator. And I think that's what the left is trying to say is, you know, we're kowtowing or catering to this known evil variable. But, you know, one thing that in politics that I get so tired of is the hypocrisy. And I'm sure you do, too. It just gets old. if Obama does it, you don't hear a thing. Or it's great. And then Trump does it. No, it's the worst thing ever. The only thing is, I mean, Trump's a fighter. And what's really crazy is you get like Robert De Niro, the actor, who, you know, comes and it was the Grammys or whatever it was. And he goes up to the mic and he just says blank Trump. And it's the bad, a bad word. He said, all I have to say is blank Trump. And that's, and it's like, and then he got a minute long standing ovation. Now, they do this stuff for attention, okay? It may be hard for us to understand, but they believe that someone like De Niro believes that it makes him relevant. He believes that behaving like that makes people, you know, care what they think. Sure, they might talk about him for a few days, but I can tell you, when you have De Niro showing up in as an older grandpa and showing up in movies like The Intern, which was real cute, where he, you know, they had some internship program where they brought in basically senior citizens. And of course, by the next day, the CEO or president of the company or whatever she was had changed her mind and forgotten all about it. But these guys had carried through to it. And De Niro's character ended up getting an internship with this modern company. And it just showed the contrast of how the old timers behave versus the new generation. You know, the respect levels and all that stuff. And, you know, it was good. But you know what? He can kiss those kind of parts goodbye now. That stuff's over. So basically, I guess, without getting too doom and gloomy, but just covering kind of what a lot of my reading came to today was our markets are stretched thinner than ice. I mean, they're thin. In other words, they're so overcapitalized with people's money, it's scary. It's another situation, folks, where a correction has to be inevitable. It just has to be. There is no good reason why the markets are up like they are. There's just no good reason. I wish I could tell you otherwise, because of course I want America to do well. But there's no good reason why they're valued as high as they are. Okay, so if the markets are overvalued and overleveraged, and a crash on the scale of, you know, our last recession or whatever's on the horizon, you know, then where do you go? You go to the safest haven there is, which is gold, you know, gold and precious metals based assets. Simple as that. And then we talked about the trigger of the Middle East, you know, which involves Iran, and the price of oil. And the price of oil has been going up. And then we've got Trump's tax cut, which doesn't seem to be stimulating the economy much. You're just telling people they're getting more in their paycheck, and some are, and a lot aren't, and most aren't, I should say. But you know, those that are, I guess, will benefit. But we just have to realize that the markets they're just over leveraged, overbought, overstretched. Oil's a big component. A war in the Middle East is ultimately inevitable. And my biggest fear that I've discussed in the past, folks, my biggest fear is what happens when Trump gets out. Now, I get like Sirius XM radio, and so I'll surf through the channels and listen to the conservatives and the liberals and even the supposedly the progressives are somewhere in between, but they're not. They're just, they want to see almost the destruction of America. It's kind of scary. I was listening to this stuff today on the radio, but, you know, essentially they're saying the same thing. They're just saying, you know, since Trump got in office, we've lost 43 of these municipal seats all the way up through state governorships. That's the GOP or the Republican Party that's lost them. It's just concerning, right? I think you'd agree. It's concerning that we've lost these kinds of things at that scale, because, you know, what does that mean is coming in the midterms? Another landslide where the Dems take over the House and the Senate again, and we've got Trump in office. It's scary. On economic growth, you know, the U.S., particularly when it comes to retail sales, is not showing any real strength at all. I mean, it's better than it was in 08. That's the problem, is we end up comparing to the worst times rather than the best times. And we're nowhere near the best times. We're a lot closer to the worst times when it comes to retail sales. This George Salente said that given the myriad of risks for investors, now would be an ideal time, he said, to buy gold. And then he always says, I don't give financial advice. He says, I believe that there is no greater safe haven right now than gold. That's a quote directly out of his mouth. And he is a longtime financial analyst, been around forever. Okay. I mean, this guy's no, you know, no spring chicken, as we say. And then, you know, it's an interesting theory that he brings together too with Israel, the U.S., and Saudi Arabia. They none of them like Iran. Iran is a very radical, I think it's the Shiite Muslims, I'm not sure, but it's the very radical sect of Islam, and they are destructive to everyone. They make other Muslims look bad, even though they all ultimately believe alike when they're pushed into a corner, I believe. But, you know, Iran just is not a good, it's not good optics, as they say. It's also disappointing the tax break hasn't helped much, and that, now, according to George Salente's math analysis, which I've looked at, and it makes sense, 1385 and 1450 gold, okay? So basically, he's saying the next stop for gold is going to be around 1385. After that, the next stop's 1450. He said, once it passes 1450, be ready for record level growth like never before. So why not have a part of it, you know? And I just, you know, I have other products I'd like to sell. I'm afraid to put them out right now, but just because of the demand that we're having with investment portfolios. But if you want to just save some money, if you want to just keep your money in a safe haven, a place that you don't have to worry about, I would say now is a great time to bring in and just, you know, get a precious metals based asset, you know, buy gold. How about that? We'll just keep it simple. Buy gold. Come in, get your gold, etc. And again, you know, go put those Google reviews up. We need them. We really appreciate them, and we're willing to help you out any way we can. So we've talked, you know, on previous shows recently, I've been talking about, you know, the run, the historical performance of the metals since the deregulation of 71. We've had, well, they say the strongest, longest bull market in the history of tracking financial markets is what precious metals have been. So if you're thinking, oh, I want to be in stock because it's up and all this crazy kind of stuff, folks, you don't need to think that way at all. When you get into precious metals, it is the longest lasting, strongest market ever recorded since they began recording financial markets. And so it's not, and I apologize for bumping the mic there. It's not something that, it's not necessarily a timing thing. I think what's most important that we need to realize is the preservation of capital. I think that is absolutely so important that we realize wealth and capital preservation is the absolute goal of what we do. We don't want to jump around and try to chase markets and time everything right. You really want to buy and hold. You know, it's interesting. I was talking to a friend of mine who is really big into real estate. And he has friends that are big, 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 big into real estate, like that own, you know, huge complexes in Arizona and California, just massive operations. I mean, you know, guys that are worth billions. And they have told him that the guys, the people that do the best over time are the ones that buy and hold hard assets. And he just golfed with a few guys that were, you know, just, I mean, their net worth is just unbelievable. It's remarkable. And they told him that the people that really succeed the most are those that buy and hold. And I think there's a lot of truth to that, because you build and build and build. When you're constantly churning, that's one of the biggest problems with stockbrokers, is they don't make money unless they're churning, right? They have to churn it. They have to turn it, burn it, churn it, whatever. And they roll you over and over and over again. And that, my friends, is how they make their money. And it's sad. I mean, it's sad, but it's true. But it's how they make their money, is by turning your money over and over and over again. And I don't know. I have a problem with it. I personally think it's unethical. I know enough about it. I've been on the inside of it. I've seen it. And it is what it is. So, you know, basically we talked about, well, what is, you know, so on Monday I talked about, you know, rolling over your 401ks and IRAs. Now's a great time. Folks, don't wait. I mean, they tell us America's doing great. Trump's doing wonderful. But in reality, you know, what are we really doing? What are we really accomplishing? I don't know. I mean, I'm not seeing it. And I have so many friends that are in retail. I can't believe it. I mean, they literally are not, they're not seeing the sales. The sales are just not there. So something's going on. And you know, so basically precious metals-based assets is really, now's the time to preserve and protect. And we've talked about it. And, you know, when you have it, it gives you security and peace of mind. You're building true wealth. It's real capital preservation. Cryptocurrencies terrify me, folks. They're going to blow sky high. That is the weirdest thing on earth. We won't even get into that right now. They don't even make sense. They're going to be a trend that blows up and leaves everybody hanging with nothing. True investment and financial growth is what you get with assets that, you know, the asset-based stuff we have. I mean, we have coins that, you know, you've got 95W proof silver eagles, for example, in proof 69 or something. The key date proof silver eagle, the key date silver eagle, they only minted 25,000 of them, which may sound like a lot, but when you realize how many people have silver eagles, it's not. You know, coins like that, they're worth around $4,000. We have, you know, they sold new in a, they, I mean, there was a time back in the 90s, I had complete sets of these. I bought, at one time I had like 10 sets, and the entire set with 2 ounces of gold and the rare silver eagle in it were like $1,200 or $1,300. Okay. Now the silver eagle alone is worth about $4,000, and the gold is worth, you know, $2,500 or whatever it is. So you've got a set that's gone from $1,200 to $6,500, and we have one of these sets in stock. You know, it's certified proof 69. But those are the kinds of things that over the long haul they pay off. They just do. And this is what we build portfolios out of now. This is what my years of experience has caused me to do. We balance that out. You always have your precious metals base, okay? You're going to have your bulk silver dollars. You know, if you don't have that, you know, you need to get it. You got to have your bulk silver dollars and all that stuff, folks. And, you know, some people want just constant growth every single day of their life, but they don't realize that they, but having, by having these assets and they're preserving and protecting themselves in a very wise long-term manner by keeping this stuff. And, you know, I've had a client I talked to here recently that said they thought they just had gotten too many metals over the years. So they got stuck with this broker. They said, oh, we decided we wanted to do this. So they went and they got, you know, start investing in paper, and they did it before Trump. And even after Trump, I mean, they've just lost their tail, and they came back and they said, man, do we get it? You know, they had some stock they were telling me stories of, you know, some pharmaceutical thing or whatever that, you know, it turned to zero while the market was hot. And I'm like, that's the nice thing. And they said, yeah, that's the nice thing about everything you've sold us is it's always there. It's a real asset. It's worth something. We don't have to worry about it going away. Okay. And, you just get out of this whole John Maynard Keynes economic cycle that's designed to flush the toilet with your money, right? You want to basically, you know, avoid the problem. You know, you avoid reacting. It gives you protection from it's our system is intentionally engineered for the theft of your purchasing power, which leads us to demand more from our government. And that's where we're at now, is people want everything from the government. What scares me, I think, the most is this progressive left wing. I mean, there is this huge movement, folks. In the next generation, give it up. When I comb through the radio stations, like on Sirius XM, and I listen to these things, and I hear all these left wing, and I mean, I'm talking way left. They're banging so hard off the wall to the left. And this young generation, this is our future, the future of our country. I mean, everything in this country now is about Hollywood and showing off, and, you know, TV and magazines and celebrity status. And of course, all those celebrities, they're on the left, right? I mean, there's hardly any of them on the right, and which is mind-boggling to me. I don't understand it. I don't, but it's maybe other than morality, or maybe other than the left brain, right brain thing, where, you know, people that are artistic or actors maybe tend to stay in the, is it the right brain? The right brain makes you artistic, I think. If I'm wrong, forgive me. Or maybe it's because all their friends are doing it. I don't know, but I do know that, you know, there is a wave coming. We're starting to lose elections under the Trump administration just because he's pretty harsh. I mean, the left does not like the guy. I personally think the guy, I think I'm 50-50 on him. I think he's a little cocky, a little. I think he's very arrogant. I think he's good at what he does. I think he enjoys what he does. I think he's loving it. I think he's a powerhouse. I think he's a very powerful leader. I think the media feeds it, and I think he feeds on the media a little too much myself. I think, you know, he is who he is. God put him there. He's God's chosen man, and you look at what the alternative was. Folks, we've had so much evidence of corruption since they got in office. Our country's been taken over by corruption. The FBI, the Department of Justice, all of it is just filled with corruption, just absolutely filled with it, okay? Where I'm going is the future of this nation is doomed. And I'm sorry to say that, but they're doing nothing to clean it up. Nobody wants to say the truth that we've got to stop spending. No one's mentioning we've got to stop spending, because then they won't get reelected. And the left has learned how to attack and twist and turn. And the bottom line is, folks, ultimately what's happening is we're on the spending spree. It isn't going to last forever. It's on an individual basis. Student loans, we've got all these new generations. The cost of colleges is going up like 30% a year because the student loans will allow it. And people are getting, you know, they're getting deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper into debt. I mean, it's just, it's what they're doing. and they're getting more and more government dependent. They have no fear of big government, no fear at all. And they don't realize anything about our founders because they don't learn the truth about the Constitution in college or even high school. But you've got to fear big government. Think about it. Look at North Korea. What's the problem? The big government. The government controls everything. Governments become evil. You either got God or you got government. You know, and, you know, just to kind of hopscotch away from that, you know, from an investment perspective, what do you want? Do you want your money tied up in a government basically system that is absolutely dedicated to the hyper creation of currency? Folks, your biggest problem is you don't understand the numbers. I have a degree in mathematics. I'm not saying I'm smarter than you, but I'm saying I don't even get it. Okay, these numbers are so big and so profound and so reckless and so uncontrollable. We don't comprehend it. We just don't comprehend it. When it comes to our government, we think it's different. It's not different, okay? A budget's a budget. When you're over budget, you're over budget. But our government can create money out of thin air and hang it on your back. And that's what they're doing. And you've got to realize, folks, I promise you, in the long run, this country, if depending on how old you are, 30, 40, 50, whatever, in the next couple decades, you're going to see stuff in this country economically and globally you never, ever dreamt of. And it may be just because we're at the very end of the end. I mean, and it'll come fast and it'll come hard, especially with Islam and everything else. So, you know, just prepare yourselves. I mean, just do the right thing. Stick to the Bible. Just have hard assets. Don't go thinking you're smarter than this, especially don't do any annuities. Don't do anything with anybody who's insurance licensed ever, okay? Thanks for tuning in. I'm a little, you know, obviously running out of time, but just, you know, be wise. Please give us a review and give us a call. We would love to give you a silver dollar or two. Take care. God bless, and we'll be back Friday. Bye-bye.